Morning.
Well, praise be to the Lord. First, I want to wish a very happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers among us and also to all the sisters. Happy Mother's Day. Mother is an amazing person. I remember last year on the Mother's Day, Jim mentioned something in the Breaking of Bread meeting. The reason I remember, because I spoke on the last Mother's Day too. Jim said something we all have in common. That is a mother. We all have a mother. And mother is a very special person, as I said earlier. Mother is a special gift from the Lord. All of you had, I'm sure you all had a mother, experienced the love of mother, the care of mother. You can all testify to the fact mother is a gift from the Lord. Nobody is like a mother. Only a mother can be a mother. Mother is an embodiment of love. When I think about a mother, even though I mentioned last time that I never experienced the love of mother because my mother died when I was 6 months old. But I have seen a mother in action, that's the mother of my children, and I've seen other mothers, how their heart is. It is an embodiment of love. The genuine love the mother portrays is very amazing. Someone said a love can be spelled M-O-T-H-E-R, mother. We know that a mother's love is unconditional, it's unselfish, it's compassionate, it's forgiving, it's caring, it's giving, it's praying. And a mother's heart is a special place where children are always at home. And a mother's heart is always with her children. A mother sacrifices a lot. From the moment a mother conceives her child, everything changes for her. She doesn't feel the same way. She doesn't look the same way. She cannot wear what she wore before. She cannot go places where she wants to go. She cannot eat what she wants to eat. Everything changes. And after the baby, the 9 months the mother carrying that baby, there is an undetachable bond. The umbilical cord is connecting between the mother and the baby. There is an unspeakable and undetachable connection formed between the mother and that child. Even though at birth that umbilical cord is detached, yet there is an undetached connection between that child and the mother. That's why one of the quotes I read, I said, a mother's heart is a special place where children are always at home. And after all the discomfort and distress and the labor pain of having that baby, and after that child was born, the mother's love is multiplied. The sacrifices the mother go through to take care of that child. Oh, all right, the fathers are compassionate. He said, as a father has compassion on his children, the Father, God our Father, has compassion on us. But the mother is a special person. Mother's love is expressive, emotional. It is devotional. It does not matter what you do, the mother's love is unconditional. Still, you are the greatest for the mother. And after, the mother never looks the same after having one or two or three or four child. Everything changes. You know, Susanna Wesley was a famous mother, gave birth to 19 children. 19 children. Nine died, only 10 survived. And someone asked Susanna Wesley, mother of John and Charles Wesley, who do you love, which one of your children, the 10 surviving children, which one you love the most? That's an unfair question, right? Jeremy and Lisa, which one of your 5 children you love the most?
That's easy.
Easy. James, Johnny, or is Matthew, is Thomas, or is Jonathan? Or we can ask different people, which one you love the most? Well, Susanna Wesley said, I love the most the one who is sick, the one who is needy, the one who is in trouble or weak. Well, that brings us to this portion in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. So I'm going to title this message as a portrait of a mother's heart in the ministry. A portrait of a mother's heart in the ministry. Because in this passage, a mother's love is graphically portrayed in Paul. We read earlier in chapter 2, verse 7, but we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond of an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Paul says there his love for them was as a mother's love. We were gentle among you as a mother, tenderly caring for you with a fond of affection. So that is carried over later on in this chapter. So we'll see here in verse 17, Paul says, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while in person, not in spirit. So the first characteristics emerge here in this passage is that a mother's love cannot be diminished by absence. Out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. Sometimes our love is like that, right? Out of sight, out of mind. Many who have been with us, we cared and loved in the Lord. When we moved away or they are moved away, do we have the same care for them? But a mother's love never can be diminished by absence, being out of sight. But they're always in their mind. Paul says here, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time, short while, in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with a great desire to see your face. It is not diminished. When we look at the context of this passage, we know that Paul and Timothy and Silas went to Thessalonica. We can turn to Acts chapter 17 for a second to get refresh the context a little bit more so we know where we are. Acts chapter 17, starting verse 1. We know they were in prison in Philippi, and they were let go, and they now, starting verse 17, now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks, a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar and attacking the house of Jason. They were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, these men have upset the world. These men have upset the world. Have come here also. And Jason has welcomed them. And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. They stirred up the crowd and city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received a pledge from Jason and others, they released them. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. So there was distress in Thessalonica, aroused by the Jews there. And they had no choice but to leave. So the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. That's how they ended up in Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. So there was a great ministry in Berea, along with the number of prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea, also they came there as well. So now they followed the brethren to Berea. Verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. Now those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible. They left. So from Berea, there was trouble there. So the brethren took Paul and brought him to Athens. Now Timothy and Silas remain in Berea. So Paul is in Athens. Then from Athens, Paul goes to Corinth. From there, he writes this epistle to the Thessalonians. But later, Timothy and Silas joined Paul in Athens. But from there, Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonians to find out how things are, because Paul had no idea. He was there only three Sabbaths, and the believers, they were there, and the church was formed, and they were going through afflictions because Jason was already brought out, and they were troubling them. The afflictions was there. So Paul had no idea what is going to what is going on with the believers in Thessaloniki. He is in Athens. So his heart was troubled. It was like a mother grieving for her child by separation and not knowing what is going on with her spiritual her children. Paul was grieving. He was very eager to see them, his spiritual children. Now let me ask you a question at this point. Why Paul wanted to go to Thessaloniki? He says, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while, he says, we were taken away by force. That word taken away is orphaned. We were orphaned. Paul feels like an orphan without being with them, or he feels like they were orphaned because his spiritual, their spiritual father is not there, or mother. They were baby Christians. Only 3 weeks Paul was there, but there was a group of believers came forward. A church was formed, and he cared for them. And if I ask you why he wanted to go back, because they were his spiritual children. Only a mother can understand that, being away from her child, wanted to be with that child, the hurt, the pain, how much they miss that baby, the child, does not matter what age they are. And here Paul says that they were his spiritual children, and we know from chapter 3 onwards they were in affliction, and we saw that conduct in Acts chapter 16, and Paul did not want them to lose their heart in the midst of affliction. That could happen to us when we are going through affliction. We can lose heart. Afflictions of various kinds come upon us. It could be physical distress, mental distress, financial distress. Never stopping. Or emotional distress. All of us have our share of distress and afflictions. But here, the affliction they were going through for the sake of Christ, because of their faith. And Paul was not sure, these Christians, they are baby Christians. He's not sure whether their faith was superficial or they were genuine believers. And under the pressure of affliction, could tempt them, and they could lose. Satan is always trying to tempt us. He hinders us, so hinders people so they cannot see the gospel of the glory of the Lord. The prince of this world, he's in that business. And even after believing, Satan tried to hinder or tempt. So we'll see that. So why Paul wants to go back to Thessalonica? Because they were his spiritual children, and they were under the affliction. And Paul does not want his children to lose heart and be tempted. And he doesn't want his labor there was in vain. And also the ultimate purpose he wants to go there was to establish them in the faith, to encourage them. And the ultimate, the goal of his love, we can find in verse 18. For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, yet Satan hindered us. For who is our hope? Verse 19 gives us the purpose, the ultimate goal of this love for his spiritual children. What is the ultimate goal of this love, this mother's heart for his spiritual children? Paul says, who is our hope and joy, crown of exaltation? It is even you, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for you are our glory and joy. Paul says, you are the hope. You are the hope at the judgment seat of Christ, when Christ comes. So everything is in the light of eternity here, in the light of when Jesus comes in his presence at the judgment seat of Christ. What is our hope? Isn't it you? That's why Paul's labor is not in vain, because he's going to rejoice that day when the Lord comes in his presence. He will see the fruit of his labor. His hope will be fulfilled in them. His joy, that is the joy. That is the crown of exaltation. So that is what the ultimate goal. But we have to come back here and see this heart of a mother in Paul in regards to the ministry. In two verses, words he used in verse 17, he says, we were all the more eager and with great desire to see your face. All the more eager, more than abundantly eager, with diligence. Paul tried with diligence, more abundantly, more than he could do, with great desire, with much desire to see their face. And Paul did everything he could do to see them. But Satan hindered. So a mother's love cannot be diminished by distance or by absence. And also a mother's love cannot be diminished by hindrance. Doesn't matter what kind of hindrance comes across our way, the mother will always be trying to reach their children. And Paul's heart is portrayed here as a mother's heart. Why? Not because he wanted to have fellowship. Well, he wanted to have fellowship with them. It is not being with them, necessarily physically being with them, that is important, but the ultimate purpose, that their spiritual wellness. The spiritual wellness, because we see that he wanted to encourage them, strengthen them. That is why he wanted to be with them, to near to them, not just to enjoy their presence, not for any selfish purpose. It was for their best. Love always seek the best in those who we love. How important is love in ministry? How important is love. Now, Paul says, but we includes Paul, Silas, and Timothy. But we can see the heart of a shepherd here, an elder, or a pastor, or a deacon, or a teacher, or a Sunday school teacher, or one of leaders, anybody who is involved in ministries, any kind of ministries. We all have a gift, and all our gifts need to be exercised with love. Why? Because when we love one another, it proves that we love God. Because love is the most attractive quality in the world. Is there any more attractive quality in the world than love? If somebody is willing to love me for who I am, I'm not perfect. I have my shortcomings, weakness, infirmities, and I can irritate people too. And despite the fact I make mistakes, if somebody is willing to love me, I think I would respect that person more than a person's knowledge of the word or eloquency or giftedness. Because we all like people who are willing to love unconditionally, forgivingly, unselfishly. And this love lies in the heart of Christianity. We can say Bible is the book of love. The story of the gospel is the story of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, only begotten son. John 3:16. That is the story of the gospel. In John's gospel 3:13, 34, and 35, is the Lord Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. So love is the uniform which proclaims that we are the followers of Christ. How important is love? Love is the evidence of genuine believer. First John, if you read, gives the evidence of who is a believer. And one of the evidence stands out is love. If you say you love God and you love, hate your brother, what is the word of God says in First John? You are a liar. We cannot say we love God and not to love our brother. I was thinking about this message. I remember last week on the breaking of bread time, Jeremy, you read that portion in 1 John chapter 4 about the Father's love. And if we claim to love the Father, we need to love one another. And the love, because it's, you know, we love because God loved us. God manifested his love in us that while we were yet sinners, God gave his son. He manifested, he made visible his love by giving his son as a propitiation for our sins. We love because he loved us. So we love God in response to his love, the vertical love we got from God the Father, we love him back. How do we love? By loving one another. By doing that, because when we do that, in 1 John 4 says, we make the love perfect in us. We make love visible in us. I mean, we make God visible. Nobody can see God, But when we love, love abides in us and it is perfected in us. In essence, it's saying that nobody can see God, but when we love one another, we are making God visible because God is love. And that's why it's very important that we do ministries in love. We know that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the description of gifts, right? And 1 Corinthians 14 is the exercise of gifts. What lies in between those two chapters? 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. So if you read that love chapter, let me turn there for a second. Chapter 12, verse 31 says, "And I show you a still more excellent way, an excellent way of living, an excellent way of exercising gift." What is that? Then he says, if Alexander Strauss wrote a book, Leading with Love, in that he said, 5 minus 1 equals 0. I know, Jim, you're a mathematician. You're looking at that. Huh? What does that mean? 5 minus 1 equals 0. In that, he says that if I can speak the languages of the angels, heavenly languages, and if I have no love, it sounds annoying. Without love, knowing it all helps no one. It says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all the faith so as to remove mountains, but have no love, I have nothing. So having all the mysteries and the knowledge, and you have no love, it means nothing. And it says, without love, mountain-moving faith is worthless. Without love, giving all the one's money to the poor is unprofitable. Without love, ultimate sacrifice of one's life is pointless. That's what Paul says here. I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Five minus love. All those five things are listed there. 5 minus 1 is nothing, 0. But if we have love, that has value. And that's why Paul here says that, that's why the message for us, even though it is if Paul says we, it is in connection with Paul, we can apply that to all of us because all of us are in ministry. We are all exercising our gifts and we have to do all the exercise of our ministries in love. In love. And it's especially the leaders, the elders, the deacons, the teachers, those who are influencing the children, the Sunday school teachers, the Emana leaders, the VBS leaders. All of us need to set the tone for the rest of the body because we need to exercise our gifts in love. So a mother's love is not diminished in distance or absence or neither in hindrance. But we see the characteristics of that love. More eager and with great desire to see you. And Paul had tried twice to see them. And Satan hindered. And we don't have the details of how Satan hindered. But Paul was able to discern that it was Satan who hindered their coming to Thessalonica. In Acts chapter 16, we read when Paul wanted to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit did not let them go there. And they were going to preach another place, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. But the Spirit of God closed all the doors where they were going to go and led them, narrowed the door to one place, that was Troas. Now here Paul says, Satan hindered. How do we know the difference whether it is the Holy Spirit or Satan? That's a good question. William McDonald says that when we are well tuned with the will of God and devoted to the Lord in the scripture, following his will, we will be able to know whether it is the Holy Spirit or is it Satan. And we saw the ultimate goal of his love here, that the love always seeks the best for those who are loved. The mother's love for their children is for their best. Not only for the earthly best, a godly mother always looking after the spiritual health of her children. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We can offer all the comfort of the world, all the education of the world, all the money of the world, all the prosperity of the world. But lose our own soul. But Paul's focus and his ultimate goal of his love, that they be present when Jesus comes. For who is our hope, our joy, a crown of exaltation? Is not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus at his coming? That word is parousia. Parousia is, it can be the imminent return of Jesus Christ, the presence of Christ, that could be the judgment seat of Christ, and that, but here it is the return and the presence of Christ. And as we receive our rewards, and Paul will be able to recognize Thessalonians. They will be there because of his labor, establishing them, encouraging them, spiritually keeping them firm in the word and in the will of God. And he is looking forward to that day to see his hope fulfilled. Hope is about future, isn't it? He hoped to see them at the presence of Jesus Christ. He hoped to rejoice in them. He hoped to rejoice because they are going to be the crown of rejoicing for them that day. One thing is sure from this passage, that we will be able to recognize one another when Jesus comes. I think it's very clear, we will be able to recognize one another when Jesus comes. Let me ask you, who do you like to see when Jesus comes there? Jesus. And that is true. And among our dear ones, whom we love, and of those who belong to the Lord Jesus, we will be there. But we have families who may not know the Lord Jesus. We may have neighbors. We may have acquaintances, friends. Who do you like to see when he comes? That will be so sad, right? If they are not there. Those we love dearly. The separation of those we love dearly from the world through death will break our heart. That is normal, human. But can you imagine they are not there when the Lord comes? They are lost eternally. That would be really be breaking your heart. So a mother's heart is being portrayed in Paul. And that portrait of a mother's heart should be in us as we exercise our ministry for one another and for the dying world. Because if God so loved the world, then we need to love the world too. And we moving forward, verse 3. When we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you into your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourself know that we have been destined for this. So let us take the first part of that verse 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer. So there came to a point that Paul could not endure it no longer, being separated from Thessalonians, his spiritual children. He came to the end of the rope. He cannot bear it no longer. It was hurting. He was uncertain about their future, about their state. And he came to that situation, and he was all alone. Eventually we know Silas and Timothy joined him in Athens from Berea. And he wondered, he enjoyed their company, but he was willing to send his best to Thessalonians. How do you know if someone cares for you? How do you know if someone cares for you? You know someone cares for you if they are willing to sacrifice their best in order to meet your needs. We know someone cares for us if they are willing to sacrifice their best in order to meet our needs. So this love Paul had was a sacrificial love. Isn't that fit rightly with a mother's love? Mother's love is always sacrificial. She's the last person she thinks about. If there's only 4 pieces of pies and she has 4 children, she will declare, I don't really care about the pies. Because we all have experienced our mother, how much they care for us. Even if they don't eat, they will take care of us. They will stay overnight. They lose sleep to pray for us. They will sacrifice their sleep, sleeplessness. They waste away to take care of us. Here the love is sacrificial and is unselfish. Paul was going through a hard time. He was in Thessaloniki from Berea. He had afflictions there. He was taken to Athens, and there they were worshiping to an unknown god, and they were philosophers and all those people were in Athens, and he had a great ministry. He would rather have Timothy with him, his protege, his disciple. To him, he poured his life. Timothy was with him in good and bad, in high and low, in sorrow and in happiness, in struggles. And he poured his life into Timothy. He would rather had Timothy with him. He was willing to be alone in this situation. He sent his best to Thessalonica to to strengthen and encourage them. And here he says, Timothy, our brother, that phrase, our brother, it is theologically, it is right. He is saved by the grace of God. He is a brother to him, but it is more, it is experiential. It is, they were together in everything, in sorrow, in sadness, in joy, in hardship. Where Paul went, Timothy was with him. They were inseparable. They were together. He would rather had the company of Timothy with Paul in this time, but he sent his best. A mother's love is sacrificial and unselfish. We can see the portrait of a mother's love in the heart of Paul. And he was willing to sacrifice the best for the sake of the best for the Thessalonians. And they were in affliction. Paul says that we have warned you about affliction. But the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 16, let me read that verse. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. The Lord Jesus promised that we're going to have tribulation in this world. And if you call him master or teacher, we are not greater than the teacher and the master. If our Lord went through tribulation, the path we are traveling to glory is the path through the path of suffering. We should not never forget that. The path we are traveling to glory is through the path of suffering. It says in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 12 says, all those who would like to live a godly life will suffer persecution. Persecution, here Paul says, I warned you about this persecution you're going to face. When Jesus called Paul, the Lord said on the road to Damascus, he is a chosen vessel to suffer for me. And we know the catalogs of Paul's suffering, physical suffering, and also the burden in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28 says, and the burden for all the churches. That was weighing him down because he was a spiritual mother. And he was weighing the welfare of his children. And we are called, you know, the gospel calling is great. We are called to bear the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, we are called by this gospel to bear the image or the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is great. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 also says, we are called to suffer. We are called to suffer. We are destined. It's appointed. And for indeed, verse 4, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it has come to pass, as you know. So they were going through affliction. Now, one of the reasons Paul wants to come to Thessalonica, because they were his spiritual children, and they were going through affliction. And why Paul sent Timothy? It very clearly says in verse 5, for this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith. Verse 4, verse 2, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. In the midst of affliction, they need to be strengthened, established, made firm in faith. That is the ministry of the Word of God. That is the ministry of the Word of God. We need to strengthen each other. We are going through various difficulties and afflictions and temptations in our lives. The ministry of the Word of God will establish us, so we will not lose heart. We will not give up. It to make us strong in the Lord, and also encourage, comfort, or come along the side, and just to cheer up. We need strengthening through the Word of God. We need encouragement through the Word of God in times of distress and weakness. Verse 5, for this reason I could endure it no longer. I also sent to find out your faith, so for fear that the tempter might have tempted you. That tempting could be trials within or temptation within or trials without. In James chapter 1 we read, these temptation comes upon us so that we would be matured. We would be strengthened. So we can see the portrait of a mother's heart in Paul here. And we also need to have a mother's heart while we exercise our gifts in our ministry. Because there's going to be a day, because this 1 Thessalonians were written in the light of the Lord's coming. And that is the light in which Paul is writing these things. He's saying that when the Lord comes in his presence, his hope, his joy, his crown of exaltation are the believers. Who is our joy? Who is our hope? Who is our crown of exaltation when Christ comes? You are looking at each other. We are. And in times, we need the ministry of the Word of God. And we are also need the ministry of one another in our lives. Is it strengthening or encouraging? Or however the Lord has gifted you, you need to come along and comfort and encourage one another. Because the tempter is always trying to tempt us through temptations within or trials outside. So that one day when the Lord Jesus comes, we can all say, our labor is not in vain. So Paul drew a picture, or we can see the heart of a mother in Paul's ministry, and we drew some of the principles from this passage. May the Lord help us to apply this in our ministry. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that your love you shed in our heart may be manifested in our love for one another as we seek to serve one another in serving you. So we pray that the study of this passage, what we saw here, the love, the mother's love in Paul's ministry, Paul's heart, maybe ours, as we serve one another, as we encourage one another, as we strengthen and establish one another in the truth of the Word of God, in the faith in which we stand. Help us to be faithful servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we commit ourselves. Pray that you be with us and help us and keep us in your care. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.